Okay, so we are on the Mishnah on Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Says the Mishnah as follows. And we actually saw this Mishnah, Tess Amud Beis, we saw this Mishnah quarters, but here we go. Ha'ochel Eitzel Chama V'Yehuda, a person who, while he is engaged to his wife, they've already had Erisin, right? And they're waiting for Yisun, but he is eating meals by his father. By the way, that's why Jews say by, who you're staying by. Because of the word Eitzel, right? Because Eitzel is it's hard to translate. Yeah. It's not like with, you're eating by. That's the reason why we say that.
Come out, father-in-law?
Your father-in-law. So meaning you're engaged to a woman, you did Erisin, and now you are eating at the house of your father-in-law in Yehuda. Shelo be'edim. Okay, without Edim. Eino yachaliton Titus basulim. The person loses the opportunity for the taina of I can't say that anymore. Why? Because he had yichud with her. Meaning, the presumption being that, and we're going to see why as we move along, that in Yehuda, there were those who had the minog that even during Erisin, they would have yichud at some point.
That means tashmish?
Well, yichud doesn't necessarily mean tashmish, but yichud provides the presumption. Right, you now lose the opportunity to say, "Wow, I have no idea how this happened."
They're alone. Answer is,
maybe you did it.
Right, so that you together, right?
Exactly. Once you have yichud, and it sounds like, by the way, it's shelo be'edim. Sounds like there are no edim. You'd say, "What do you mean? I need edim to show that there was yichud." The answer is no. That once this is the setup, right? So now, without Edim that can testify that there wasn't Yichud, there's a presumption that there was. And presumably we'll see, because that seems to have been the minhag there, that they do this on purpose even. So let's keep going. But the point is, someone who follows this practice, now the Tanis B'Sulim goes away. Presumably because now there's going to be an assumption that they had Yichud. Once there's an assumption that they had Yichud, so now any argument of, wow, I have no idea how this happened, you were supposed to be a basula, and now you're not, and now I show up and you're not. I mean, it says, what do you mean now you show up and she's not? You've been hanging out together and you've been having Yichud. So if that's true, so then there's, you can't make a time that you didn't know or that you thought something, that you thought there was a certain status and that status has changed or isn't what you believed it was, because you may be the one who changed the status. All right, so let's see what the Gemara is going to say. So it says the Gemara, "Midikatani ha ochel mechladi ika duchta bihurinami delo achel." Right, ha ochel. The language of ha ochel is those who eat by their fathers-in-law. Right. So those who do so, meaning what? Meaning there are those who do not. Right. The fact that you're talking about those individuals who do this, or the individual who does, the implication is that there are some places in Yehuda where they don't do this. Right, so Amar Abaye Shma Mina. So you see from here, Be Yehuda Nami Mekamos Mekamos Yesh. You see that even in Yehuda, right? Not just that in Yehuda there is this minhag, but that in Yehuda there are those with the minhag. Meaning that even in Yehuda, some do and some don't.
Some do and don't eat by their father-in-law.
Exactly. Have this, and we're going to see that this really refers to this practice of being miyache, having yichud during Erisin before the nisuin. As opposed to, just to make it clear, typically yichud is the type of thing that happens after nisuin, or is really one of the things that maybe creates nisuin. That's a big machlokas. What is nisuin? Is it chuppah? Is it yichud? What?
Good question.
Yeah. So, but the point being that this is somehow doing yichud before the nisuin.
The discussion of achila is just like we had it, like you said before, but it's just like it's really the more diplomatic way. They had this, but it was really the point wasn't.
The point isn't just that he's having meals at the father-in-law's house. The point is really to say that they have this meaning of making. We're going to see the Gemara. The Gemara will be more specific right now.
Together.
Right, the Gemara. Very good. The Gemara is going to be more specific. Right, so Amar Rav Yehuda. So now watch. So Amar Rav Yehuda, the Yehuda, Bereish shown in this. So in Yehuda, they had a minog, right? So now we're going to see the more specific ways of referring to these minhagim, right? They would do yichud with the chasen and kala sha'achas. I mean, sha'achas doesn't mean for an hour, but it's a moment, right? Sha'ach can mean a moment. So they would just before kodem kinsas and chupa. Why? Kedei shehilibo gaspa. Right, in order that he and she should feel emotionally connected to each other. Right, yilbo gaspa is a phrase used oftentimes in hilchas yichud. Right, that if you have a, for example, halachos about whether yichud is permitted for certain people or things or certain heterim that are allowed, right? For example, you're a man and a woman who are not allowed to, who are forbidden to each other in a room and the door is open, right? Pesach pasul shisarab. But once you have libo gaspa, once that's stomach case. But once you have libo gaspa, that there's particularly connected, emotionally connected, then some of those kulas actually go away, right? Because two people who are libo gaspa have a more of a connection and are more, in the case of yichud, more concerned that, you know, something might go on. Here, the point is libo gaspa is to create more of a connection between the two of them. Why is that? So some of Rishon actually explained, because maybe related to this idea of the hegemon, right? There used to be this thing that they would, whenever a young woman would get married, so she would be taken by the, you know, the local whatever government official, right, who would sleep with her. So if they were libo gaspa him, if they had this, if this man and woman had just met and they have no relationship, so that's one thing. But if they have a relationship now and they like each other, etc., so she's much more likely that if she has to go to the hegemon, so she'll do so, you know, but ones mamish, she'd be totally against her will. She's interested in her relationship with her husband. So that's might be one reason why, something we shouldn't say, why they did this. Because why are you doing judgment for the chuppah? Right? Answer is because right after the chuppah, the hegemon would take these women. So that could be one reason why they did it just before the chuppah. But fine. But the bottom line is that in Yehuda, they would do this. But in the Galil, they wouldn't do that. And Yehuda, originally, they would set up two shushbenim, we would call them the shomer, right? Whatever. Someone who would accompany them. Right, echalova echalah, one for him and one for her. Why? So that they could, you know, deal with the needs of the chasen and kala before they would, when they were going into the chuppah. But in the Galil, they would not do this. This is not something that they would do.
What's the point of that?
Yeah. So if you take a look at Rashi, lemashmesh. So Rashi says, it's like down below where we are in the Gemara, on the right side, Rashi says, L'mashmesh, L'fashvesh u'l'mashmesh m'maseihem ba'usa alayla. Shalei kakalu ze'ezeh. So he wants to argue that this is that they would, because the language of mashmesh is only here. Yeah. So, and why was that? To see what they're doing that night, what do you mean? Shalei kakalu ze'ezeh b'maseihem b'tarmis. Shalei yira ze'ed dam b'sulim v'yovad. Vizulo Tavi Mapa Shiyeshaletibeda. I mean, they're gonna start tricking each other, let's say. Right? There's gonna be Dam on the sheets. And he's gonna take them away and replace them with new sheets and say, see, there's no Dam. Or there won't be Dam and she'll bring sheets with Dam on it and switch it in. Right? The point is that there were sort of like, you know, people who were like chaperones to make sure that they wouldn't make more than chaperones. It's more like, you know, like police officers, but to make sure they're not going to, you know, mess around with each other. Not going to mess around in terms of, you know, changing things up and getting each other in trouble, etc. Destroying evidence, whatever you want to call it, creating evidence. Meaning, the point is, it's one or the other. If your minhag was to have, you know, shush benim who would be mashmesh, then you don't need that, then they wouldn't do the yichud thing. Because if you did yichud, right, if they're doing yichud, then you don't need these guys afterwards because there already was yichud, right? So the point being, Hare ein sham tanis besulim, right? There's nothing to talk about. So Alma, what do you see? Be Yehuda mikomus makomus yesh. What do you see? What's the point of this brisa? Yeah. That even in different places in Yehuda, different minhagim. Yeah. The place that they had different minhagim, every place had a different minhag. Mm-hmm. Right? So you even see that in Yehuda, sometimes they did this, sometimes they did that, and some of these minhagim are steerers to each other, right? They you wouldn't do all of them. Right, so what you see is that there are some different places, even in Yehuda, that had different minhag. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. And here's the third case. And sometimes they had these like chaperone people who would actually sleep in the same house where the chasen and kala would sleep. Right, in the Galil, they wouldn't do that. So again, is there some difference, right? The shushbeinim where they sleep versus the ones in the mashmish, the chasen kalav shaskin says in the chuppah. The truth is, if you were to ask me, I would have said the shushbeinim who sleep there would be the ones that Rashi talks about by lamashmish, right? But what's the difference there? It's a good question. I understand what the difference is. But the bottom line is they're different people there to do different things at different times. So, but and the point of this brisa is to show that there were different minhagim even within Yehuda. Right, that's the point. Okay, we're going to see why that matters in a second. And then continues the brisa. V'kol shelo nag k'minag hazeh, einu yachal liton tanis besulim. And any person who didn't do this minhag, so then they can't have the tanis besulim. Okay, so that's the end of the brisa.
Who didn't do this minhag, meaning the shushbizhin?
Yeah, well, so the Gemara is going to question this language. Gemara says, ahai, what is this last line going on? Ilema Aresha, if you want to say it's going on our first cases, right, of things that they would do, right, Yichud or etc., right? Kol Shenag Mibaylai, right? What do you mean? That's not anyone who didn't do this. The point is that anyone who does this, right? If it's talking about the Yichud case, then if you had this Minog, then what happens? Then you lose Tanis Besulim because you had the Minog of Yichud. So now you can't say, you know, what do you mean? What do you mean? You had Yichud with her, right? So, don't tell me koshelo nahag, right? If you didn't have this minag, then you lose tanis besulim. No, it's the person who has the minag, right? Who did this, who has yichud, that doesn't have tanis besulim. So if it's going on the first case of the yichud minag, then this doesn't make any sense. So ela seifa, if you want to say it's going on the last case, the case of the shushbeinim, these people, it should say koshelo mushmash mi bayalei, right? Anyone who doesn't have these people around doesn't have tanis besulim. Why? Because, again, they're going to, there's a concern that you guys are, that they're messing with each other and they're going to switch evidence, etc. So that's also not going to make, so the language should be koshelo mushmash, right? Not koshelo nahag. So Amar Abaye, la'olam aresha. No, it really is going on the case of Yichud. V'tani koshelo nahag, this all the time, right? So now, just change the language, right? Really it should say, and anyone who has this minhag loses the tanis besulim, right? Because now you've had a Yichud already, so now the tanis besulim goes away. So Amalei Rava, V'hal koshel or not, Ketani. Rabbi says, not so fast. I'm not so happy just to change the language. I've memorized this brisa for the last 30 years. And the brisa was always quoted as koshel or not. So what's going on here? So El Amar Rabbi is Debra Mishad. Hachika Amar. This is what I want to say. What do you mean koshel or not? Koshel or not minag galil be galil. El minag Yehuda be galil. Any person, meaning in Galil, they didn't have this minag. Right? So if you didn't do the Galil minhag, the low nahag, is that you didn't do what they do in Galil, but rather you do Ela minag Yehuda be Galil, you did minag Yehuda, meaning you had Yichud before, then any Yachud litan tanis besulim. However you want to slice it, the bottom line is you're just trying to figure out a way to get this last line to match the rest of the brisa. But, and Rav Ashi Amar, la'olam ha-seifa, v'tani utni, koshelo mushmash. Okay, Rav Ashi says, no, it goes in the seifa, and what you want to say is, koshelo mushmash. You know, why there's a machlokas about how you switch it is an interesting question. But the bottom line is that they all, you know, the bottom line is we want to get that end of the brisa to match. But what this brisa is proving to us at the end of the day is that there were those who had different minhagim, and the bottom line was that anyone who did have this minhag, you lose the tanis besulim. If the minhag is the minhag of yichud, if you do so, you lose the tanis besulim because you have been part of this. You know, you've had yichud already. So once you've had yichud already, for whatever reason they were having yichud, but they had yichud already, so then it's permissible. Presumably, by the way, according to this whole thing, the assumption is that once they've had erusin, the yichud becomes permissible, right? If it was us there to do. Right, yichud in general is something that is forbidden if you're forbidden to each other. Right, so the presumption here is that yichud in these cases was permissible, but nevertheless, the tanis besulim goes away. Fine.
Well, it goes back to Mark's question. Like when you say yichud, are you talking about tashrish, or are you just talking about?
So you're just talking about yichud. Right. I don't think they mean. Yeah. When you learn the halachas of yichud, by the way, we mentioned this yesterday at the way beginning. Right, the amount of time that's necessary for yichud is the amount of time that it would take for a couple to be able to have tashmish. Right. That's the only reason it's called yichud.
Well, we had that before in that other case where the woman was married before and there wasn't enough time for them to act.
Exactly, exactly.
But she was considered as if...
So that becomes the question. Yichud, that's for 10 seconds, not secure yichud. By the way, that's one of the reasons why, like, question of yichud in an elevator. Most Rishonim and the Poskim and the Yichud and elevator is not a thing. Why? Because the door is constantly opening and closing. There is no time for anything to go on. Right? But that's the reason why. After at the end of a wedding, they have Yichud and they say to the if you've ever followed the young people who are banging and screaming at the end of the wedding and they walk everybody down. So what happened? We had Yichud your own wedding probably, right? So what happens, right? So the Messiah Kedushin. You know, I run to the end and I catch them as they're coming through. By the end, so what do? You have the AD Yichud check the room, make sure there's nobody else there. They leave, the chasna kala go in, you close the door, you make sure there's a lock on the inside of the door, they lock the door, and then there's different shiurim. I always tell them 9 minutes. No, not 9 minutes. No one can go in there for 9 minutes. So that's one of the more machmir shiurim of the amount of time that yichud has. We don't get technical in the conversation then, right? But the answer is that the reason why we're giving them that much time is because that's the shiur. Right? You imagine a normal amount of time that people, in theory, that could happen. So the tashrish could take place. But the point is that that's the din of yichud in terms of creating nisuin. But that's not because there's an assumption that happens then, right? That's just an assumption that that's the amount of time it takes in terms of what, and that's why it's called, and that's why in the when it's an isser, it's the isser yichud, right? In terms of the isser, we're more machmir the other way, that we say a person shouldn't have yichud for even that amount of time, but even less amount of time. But the bottom line is yichud is always synonymous in that sense with tashmish, not because it's an assumption that it happened, but because once there is yichud, it could happen, right? It really could happen, and that's why we've had conversations before about a woman who's a sota, and then she's found having yichud with the guy. There's an assumption that what they did do or didn't do, etc. So yichud creates that, that cloud of suspicion in the negative, and it creates nisuin in the positive. So that's sort of how it goes. Okay, next Mishnah. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the idea of someone having a higher level, a higher price in their ksuba because of their status. Okay, so that says the mission like this: Achas amanas Yisrael, va'achas amanas kohanim ksubas amana. A woman who's an amana who was a bas Yisrael, or a woman who's an amana who was a bas kohen. It's not an amanas kohanim. Does not mean that she was
married
to a kohen. That's not what it means. It means amanas kohanim. Look at Rashi, the bottom line. Amanas kohanim, first line of the line. Amana bas kohen. Right, so she is a bas kohen. So the Mishnah says that amana who's a bas Yisrael or an amana who's a bas kohen, ksubas amana, she gets 100. Bez din shal kohanim hayu govin le besula arba meo zuz v'lo michu b'yadim kohanim. But the bez din shal kohanim, they started to create this price of 400 zuz, right, for a besula. And we're going to see how that applies to amanos in a second. And the chachamim didn't object to this. So look at Rashi. How you go from the besula bas kohen kishanisi is a kohen, right? But kosher again kishanisi is Yisrael, right? If she marries a kohen, fine. But they do it then. But certainly if she married Yisrael, he's getting like an elevated yichus. He's getting a bas kohen. So then they would require a higher price.
What's and a based in shal kohanim?
Exactly.
They
it's a great
own,
so this is part of the kasha. One of the kashas in the Rishonim is what's a based in shal kohanim? So some say there were kohanic cities, right? There were cities, certainly, like if Ira kohanim, you did have, even though the kohanim didn't have their own land, they did have certain cities that were like cities where kohanim lived. So it could be it was a bezdin in a city with where kohanim lived. The kohanim, we don't really have such a thing. Like kohanim don't have their own bezdin, and Levim have their own bezdin, Israel have their own bezdin. We don't really have such a thing. But there could be that in a certain community where lots of kohanim lived, they created this minhag that they would do this, that they would require a higher amount. And it sounds, the point being that the chachamim were not against it. They weren't against the practice. If that's what you wanted to do, it was okay to do that. And we're going to talk more about now why that might be a positive thing and why that might be a negative thing. So it says the Gemara like this: Tana Valman. Because by the way, we do add in our ksubas. We do it systematically now, but we add. We do have more for besula, less for almana, but we do add on. V'hosif lei min delay. Oh, me etzukim sarifai. We add things on like that. So it's not. And this Mishnah is one of the sources for this idea that the amount in the ksuba is not always a fixed amount necessarily.
There's a minimum, so, but you can.
But you can add on. You can make it higher, etc.
Although, this is different than Shabbos, right? This was just automatic.
Right, this was something they set up. But the point is that they set up on their own. Like, they decided, right, we want to do this. Right, yeah. Exactly. So it says the Gemara like this: Tana, v'amanas kohanim ksubas amasayim. Okay, so now, again, we said in the Mishnah that the besula, the kohanim were making 400 instead of 200. So if you're in a besula, you get 400. You do the math. If you're on a mana, you're going to get 200, right? So v'almanas kohanim k'subas ha-masayim, right? So you want, so really, the question is v'hanan t'nan, achas almanas yisrael, v'achas almanas kohanim k'subas ha-mana. What are you talking about? Right? So the Tana says that almanas kohanim was k'subas ha-200. But our Mishnah said b'feirush that it doesn't matter what kind of almana you are, from Yisrael, from a kohen, doesn't matter, you only get 100. So Amar Vashi, shtei takanos havu. Right, there was two takanos that took place. Meikara takin lebesula arba meyazus ula mana mana. In the beginning, they said, and I'm a besula, v'zulim besulas coin. Right, she would get 400, and a mana would get 100. And what happened? Kevin the chazu the mezazle behu, and then they found that people were being mezazle. They were not treating the amanos properly. Again, what's the whole purpose of the besula? Of the ksuba, shlote kalba in of lotzia, right? The whole point was that we don't want people to be treating their wives like, we'll just get divorced, right? Like, what's the big deal? So they found that people were, the almanos were treating them with zilzal, says Rashi, the mezalz de behuba almanos, right? Kalos beineim lahotzion, b'pneshe ksubasa mu'etes, right? So they were treating them as a lot less, again, because the basula of a coin was now being, is now considered 400, and the almana of the bas kohen was only 100. So there was a big discrepancy. Once it became a big discrepancy, so then they were treating them less seriously, right? So what did they do? So takinu lahu masan. So they made a takana to make it actually 200, right? But what was the problem with that? Kevan dechazu deka parshin minayu. So what happened? People said, forget this. If I have to pay 200 zuz to marry an almana's kohen, I could marry a Basulas Yisrael for the same price, right? Okay, hopefully that's not our conversations when we're getting married. But okay, but the Lamaisa, that was I guess
better
part
deal,
of
right?
What was that? It's a better deal, Chalila. Right, that's when we talk about people. But right, but that Lamaisa, that was what's happening, right? It's like a parsha minayu, right? The Gemara is always very honest about the way people act, even if the way people act is not nice. It's Lamaisa, people were acting that way, right? People were holding back. Like, we thought we're helping the Almanas Kohen by giving her a higher price, right? We're now like making her more valuable. We treat her with more respect. But instead, what was happening? They said, "Well, forget. I could marry a Basula when we've never been married for the same quote price, right?" So they weren't marrying them. So the Amrei Adinus Stephen Almanas Kohen and Nesel Nesel Basulas Bas Yisrael. What am marrying Almanas Kohen Bas Kohen? I can marry a Basulas Bas Yisrael. So what did they do? I had dreamed of the Messiah. They put the whole thing back, right? Sometimes you think you have a smart idea, and then you realize that you've just created more problems than you started than you were starting with, and therefore they changed the idea and they stopped.
Put it back, meaning the Almana now gets the same.
So yeah, it seems like they went back to what, right? So did they go back to? Did they go? Look at Rashi. Look at Tosis for 1 second. If you look at Tosis on the right side for 1 second, came in the Chazal de Mezazel Abihu. Top one, he writes, "Perish b'kuntra shayu b'kalos b'enian lotzion." He says that Rashi said that there are people were more likely to divorce them. The fisha haisa ksuba asa muetis, because there's a small amount of ksuba. So what's the kasha on that? The kasha is that's everybody, right? But kasha, they made karanami have a yodin yadish shikalos beinian lotzion. They already knew that it's going to be, you know, by making an almana 100 instead of 200, you already know you're making them less desirable that way, or less, seeming less difficult to divorce them. Right? Came into mana chashiv, davar muet, mana is only, it's a lot less. Once it became one quarter, right, when it was a half of a basula, fine. But now it felt like so much less, right? It's like psychology. It made you feel like it was less. Right? But the kinu la masan came and they put it into 200. Came the chazu de parashim minay, and the people wouldn't pay it anymore. La gamrei vayikopsin kodem ala psula yisrael v'lahayashum adam kofetz aleim adrina lemisayu hainu. What do you mean they changed their minds? Did nakat meikara mezazli shahayu nimnayim v'lo la gamrei portion ubasar hachin nakat uparashim. I think it sounds like the point is that they went back to the 100, even though that was a little more zilzal, right? Because it was one quarter, but a little zilzal is better than not getting married. Right, so they said better to. It sounds like they didn't change the basula back to 200. It sounds like the 400 stayed, but they switched the 200 to 100 for the almana. That's what it sounds like, according to Tosfos. And again, the whole thing was it was psychology, right? Once it's a quarter of what the psula gets, that's like, yeah, that's really shvach. But better to be a little shvach and the husband's being a little quicker on the trigger finger for the divorce than to have a scenario where these women are not getting married at all. That'd be much worse. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Beis Din Shel Kohanim. So what is this case of Beis Din Shel Kohanim? So Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Lo Beis Din Shel Kohanim Bilvad Amru. Right, so not only are we doing the elitism thing with the Kohanim, but now anybody who had a special, you know, there are certain mishpachos that have yichas, right? You have people who can write their, they have, in the, you know, inside, you know, some book of yichas where they can write their genealogy all the way back to the Rambam and all the way back to, you know, David HaMelech, and they can tell you exactly who all of the people were in their families, right? So you have special families like that. In Ratzulasos Kederach Shakohanim Osin Osin. So you want to say you want to marry the X family and whatever that name, the name of the family is. So you have to know we're a 400 Zuz family. We're not a 200 Zuz family, right? For the basula. And if people wanted to do that, so they could do that. The point being, it wasn't just a Beis Din Shel Kohanim thing.
You don't need a Beis Din for that. You could just say our family does this.
That's what it sounds like. Rudam Shul is saying that it wasn't just Beis Din Shel Kohanim, but any family, meaning really it sounds like it could be anybody could do it.
Right.
But who would try it? Specifically these people, because they had these special families. Or they knew that they were chashav enough that people would be interested in that. Okay. So Macy, the Gemara, was not so fast. Right? Anybody wanted to do what the Kohanim did, which was a Bas Yisrael marrying a Kohen. Right? That's a little different. That's she's marrying a Kohen. Right? Or Bas Kohen Yisrael. Or Bas Kohen marry Yisrael. So you could do that. Okay? Bas Yisrael a Kohen, Bas Kohen Yisrael, who de'ikat tzad kahuna. Right? So you might think that that's true specifically Bas Yisrael to a Kohen or Bas Kohen to Yisrael, because then there's a tzad kahuna there. There's a family, one family at least is feeling they're like elevating the other. Right? Of a Bas Yisrael to Yisrael, lo. Right? But what? But that's only for if you're marrying into a Kohen family, right? One way or the other, but a Bas Yisrael to Yisrael, you couldn't do this. That's what it sounds like, right? And if that's true, it sounds like this halacha was specifically by Kohanim, right? As opposed to what Rabbi Yehuda said, what Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel said, which is that it wasn't just about Kohanim, it was anybody could do this if they want to. And Mar says, no, that's not what it means. Rather, lo mi bai ka'amar, right? This is a Mishnah or a Brisa written in a lo mi bai ka'amar style. Meaning it's not only this, but even that. Meaning, lo mi bai bas Yisrael Yisrael, de lo masi amra la iluye kama alinan leich. Right, forget, it's not only in the case of Yisrael man Yisrael, right? There's no argument that I'm elevating you because we're all the same, all Yisraelim. Ava bas Yisrael koing de matzi amalei iluye kamalinalei lach emalo. Right, you might say, again, if the bas Yisrael is marrying a koing, what could you say? I'm helping you. I'm going to pay less. The answer is, even in that case, you could still the family could still say you want a higher price. That's allowed, and so Kamash Shemlon, that even in that case, that would be permissible, and they could raise the prices if they want to, up to them if they think it's going to help them out or not. But that's what they could do. Okay, I'll continue tomorrow.